This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So NFL Throwback came out with their Steelers Mount Rushmore because it's June, and that's what happens in June in sports talk. We also have a list here of the top 20 running backs in the NFL. Someone was surprisingly included and somebody surprisingly left out. We'll get to both of those things in a minute. But Corey Perry, dude, did you see this? Corey Perry just lost his fourth out of the last five Stanley Cups.
What?
Yeah. Four out of the last five Stanley Cups he's been a part of, and his team lost.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's tough.
That sucks. Now, he won in 06 and 07 with the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. But that is some
Wait.
All-time losing.
He's been to seven?
So he lost four of five. He played in 06 and 07 for the team that won it. So I think he's played in six Stanley Cups. Five Stanley Cups, lost four of them. Oh, my God. He's one of the most legendary losers of all time.
Jeez.
Corey Perry is. It connotes feelings of Marian Hossa, who was a Penguin and then lost to the Red Wings, then joins the Red Wings, loses to the Penguins, and then finally winds up with the Chicago Blackhawks and wins the championship. Boy, that's not a distinction that I would like. It means that you're always playing on winning teams, but the heartbreak for that guy. How do you think Oilers girl feels today, by the way?
I was going to say something mean, but I'm not going to.
She probably feels pretty good, honestly.
I don't know.
I mean, she's a huge Oilers fan. She did a shower video. I don't know if you
saw
that.
I was going to be mean. I mean, she has like no charisma, but
I don't, buddy. She don't need that charisma.
I know.
She's behind a paywall on Playboy.com. Have you seen this?
I have not seen it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. I don't. If I were a single man, I may have. Yeah, but I don't need that showing up on my bank statement. Hey, Adam, why'd you subscribe for $3.99 a month to this specific sect of Playboy? Well, let me tell you a little bit about the Edmonton Oilers, dear. Yeah, I can't do that. But she's now doing a bunch of stuff with Spittin' Chiclets.
Right.
Which, everything I know about a couple of those, it doesn't matter. We'll just leave that one there.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it there. But yeah, it connotes feelings of Marian Hossa, who was like the ultimate loser until he was ultimately a winner.
Man.
Four out of five. That is really tough.
To make it that many times.
Do you think the second one would be more satisfying than the first? Because when I think about 09 and the Penguins winning the cup, the first Stanley Cup that I really was a cognizant fan, like where I could really like enjoy it and soak it all in, I think of 09, and so that one was special. But because of all the failures intermixed in between 09 and 2016, 2016 as a fan was by far my favorite championship I've seen a team win.
So you're saying as a fan or as a player?
Well, I can only look at it as a fan.
As a player, I think the second one would be great because that puts you in a different tier.
Because
there's so many players who win one. But how many players really win two?
Yeah.
And how many players really win three? So that second one, if you can do that, and it's kind of with the same-ish regime, different coaches, I get that, but you're still with the same team, with the core group. Yeah, that's very special.
Paul Coffey won six. He won four with the Oilers. He won two with the Penguins, an ultimate winner. Chris Kunitz, an ultimate winner because he won with the Anaheim Ducks, and then he won three championships with the Penguins. I think of those guys. I think of Patrick Hornquist as a winner. I think of Phil Kessel as a winner, but they did it here. The guys who have won it in multiple places, that's a really, really cool accomplishment. And then you got Connor McDavid, who hasn't had his name etched on the cup one time. What a shame that is. So CBS Sports ranked their top 20 running backs in the NFL, and controversy right off the jump, Doran, as Jaylen Warren listed as the 20th best running back in the NFL. You know who's not on the list? Najee Harris. Do you agree with that? Do you think Najee Harris is a lesser player than Jaylen Warren?
Well, go through the list if we have time. Go through the list of the 20, and I'll tell you. I mean, I'll tell you who deserves that 20th spot out of the two, or deserves maybe to be higher, or do they both deserve to be on?
So you've got Jaylen Warren at 20, Isaiah Pacheco at 19. He runs like a chicken with his head cut off. DeAndre Swift, 18th. Achane from the Dolphins, whose name I always butcher, who was unbelievably explosive last year. You had James Conner, 16th overall.
I mean, he's been having a great career.
I cannot quibble with that at all. I think James Conner is a better player than Najee Harris.
Yes.
The only thing about him was that he couldn't stay healthy. When he's healthy, higher yards per carry than Najee Harris, and he's got the nose for the goal line. Tony Pollard at 15. Kyren Williams with the Rams, 14. Kenneth Walker, 13. Raheem Mostert, two Dolphins on the list. Travis Etienne, 11th. Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Breece Hall, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. So
I guess it really does come down to, do you think Najee Harris is a lesser player than Jaylen Warren?
He doesn't offer as much. If you're looking for the complete back, I mean, you would think that Najee Harris would offer a lot as a complete back, being with his size. But Jaylen Warren, I mean, in the passing game, you know, he's getting you that yak yards on screens.
Yes.
And, you know, dump downs. And in the in pass blocking, he does very well. And then running between tackles and outside tackles and explosiveness. Like, yeah.
People have always criticized Najee Harris for not being explosive. But the defenders of Najee Harris have always said he's been running behind a bad offensive line. Jaylen Warren runs behind the same offensive line and has a higher yards per carry.
If you look at those two and say that, like, there's no way you can say that they're close in explosiveness.
Not even like, close.
Night and day.
Not even close.
And that has to do with size. I get that. Mm-hmm. But just as a pure runner.
Derrick Henry's pretty big and he's explosive. Saquon's explosive.
When Jaylen Warren broke out that 60-yard run in the preseason.
Buffalo, yeah.
Against Buffalo. That put it to me, I was like, oh, that's different. Like, Najee Harris can't do that.
I think the Steelers feel the same way. And that's one of the reasons why they don't want to pick up and didn't pick up that fifth-year option on Najee Harris. But I also don't know that they feel so good about Jaylen Warren that they wouldn't think you need to have him handcuffed with another back. Like, I will always say about Jaylen, I think he's one of the most elusive running backs in the entire NFL. He avoided 35.6% of the tackles, it says right here on this CBS Sports article. That is the best among all 49 running backs. But I don't know if in a 17-game season, if it was Jaylen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson, if you really believe that Jaylen Warren's going to stay healthy and be the primary ball toter for 17 games. I don't think you can. Like, the only way we would find out is if Najee Harris got hurt, because I think that less is probably more with both of them.
Yes.
But when Jaylen Warren is that much more on a yards per carry basis better than Najee Harris, you're not going to pay Najee Harris $7 million guaranteed. You're just not going to do it. Not when you know that if you lose out on him, you can give another 1B to the Steelers and you still feel like Jaylen Warren is going to be really good for you. I am surprised that Najee... I am surprised they went with it, though. They love the counting stats, and Najee has 3,000-yard seasons, but I think that means less and less more than it ever did.
More games.
I wonder if you were doing tandems where the Steelers would rank.
Top three.
Yeah, I'd think pretty high. I'd think really high. What frightens me most about this list is that you scroll all the way down to Derrick Henry at number two, and now you pair him with the greatest running quarterback in the history of the sport. And I think if ever there was a player at his age to be productive at that position, this year he is set up so perfectly.
Oh, my God.
So perfectly. I mean, he's an all-timer. He's 29 years old. He's not going to have the best season of his career because just go back and look.
Yeah, 2,000-some yards.
Yeah. Yes. But if he rushes for 1,600 yards this year, no one bats an eye, I don't think, with Derrick Henry. All right. So NFL Archive came up with the Steelers' Mount Rushmore, and it's Jack Lambert, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Green, Ben Roethlisberger. There is one guy that on social media, everyone wants to rip from that Mount Rushmore and place someone else there. We'll talk about that when we come back because it's June. Paul Coffey won 3 championships. Obviously was not a member of the second Penguins Cup winning team. I don't mean to make light of this or anything, but I wonder if I got like some of that COVID brain fog. It might just be that I'm dumb and my baby doesn't sleep at night and
look
I wake up every day
at
3 a.m.
school you went to.
Really set myself up for that one.
I mean,
and then how about Austin Bechtel?
Is there anybody that's ever like is like intelligent that's come out of West Virginia? Like honestly, like
look at me.
Like who like
we have the same job.
Like big time,
it all worked
like
out.
Smart. Is there any like anything?
Jerry West.
He was a basketball player.
Hall of Fame executive.
In that, basketball.
Very
I'm
smart
saying, like,
man.
Intelligent. Like there's so many intelligent people that have come out of the University of Pittsburgh.
Jonas Salk. Name a non-athlete. Came out that's smart. He can't. I named the one. Now he did help kill polio. So that's a pretty big quiver. Arrow
exactly.
In your quiver. Yeah, it's a pretty big one there. We got to cure something at West Virginia. We got to let something out of a lab and cure it, and then that we can have our, we can even it up.
Secure.
Perhaps you could find a cure to 13-9.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Gingivitis.
You know who texted me earlier? EJ Borghetti. And he wanted to remind me that Chuck Hawley was one of the players who won the Super Bowl MVP. Might have been the only guy who won the Super Bowl MVP for a losing team, Super Bowl V, which I did know, and he was a West Virginia Mountaineer, and that is the most West Virginia Mountaineer stat of all time,
mm-hmm.
That a guy was the best loser, the best possible loser you could be. That is such a damn West Virginia thing.
Yes, it is.
Anyhow, shall we go to Mount Rushmore talk, Doran Dickerson?
Sure.
All right. So NFL Archive came out with their Mount Rushmores for every team in the sport because it's June, and that's what sports talk is. And it's Jack Lambert, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Green, Ben Roethlisberger. A ton of people on the post saying that Ben should be removed and Troy Polamalu should be placed there instead. I think Troy's one of one. Troy is one of the best safeties of all time, one of the best defenders of all time. And they would always flash the stats when Troy played, when Troy didn't play, just like TJ Watt. They were so much better with that guy. And if you didn't know a thing about football and you watched the Steelers play, you could go with your girlfriend. You go with your dad who doesn't know jack about football, whatever. And they would go, that guy is different. But you can't take Ben off Mount Rushmore.
No.
How are you going to take a 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback off Mount Rushmore? You can't do that.
No. I think somebody that would be deserving to be on and maybe for Lambert would be Franco.
Yeah, I could see that.
Maybe. He's the only one, though.
Dan Rooney said we did a lot of losing before Franco got here and a lot of winning after.
Right.
Like, Franco was kind of that line in the sand. Now, same is true with a lot of those guys, but Franco comes in, all of a sudden they start winning championships, and he was a big part of the championships. And the team that they all consider the best of that group that didn't win was in 1976, and that's because Franco was hurt.
Right.
So I could see that, and he was the guy whose number just got retired.
Right.
But if you're talking, I can't believe we're doing this. If you're doing Mount Rushmore, it's also got to be a look, too. And Mean Joe Green, he had a look, and he was intimidating. And obviously, he is above reproach. Like, he has to be on the Steelers Mount Rushmore. Same with Bradshaw and his little chin butt.
Uh-huh.
Jack Lambert's scat, like, his teeth and the drooling. Like, Hines would look good because he'd have the big smile. But as far as accomplishment, and Ben's got double chin, you got to put Ben on the Mount Rushmore. But you asked a question before the show that I have not thought about. Who is the third best Steelers quarterback of all time? Now, Neil O'Donnell made a Pro Bowl. Neil O'Donnell went to a Super Bowl. It can't be Neil O'Donnell, can it?
Maybe. Or Cordell.
It could be Cordell. I still think Cordell was a little bit ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that Cordell would do all the things that Lamar Jackson has done. I mean, Lamar Jackson's done, he's won 2 MVPs. Like, it might not be fair to say that, but you know, Cordell Stewart was the offensive player of the year in 2001.
Yeah, Cordell over. I mean, Cordell for the array of, yeah. Cordell probably number 3, and then Neil 4. The fact that he could do it at 2 positions.
He was
quarterback being one of them.
48 and 34 in his NFL career. He had more interceptions than touchdowns did Cordell, but he also ran the ball effectively. You know, some of his early career highlights, he was the best athlete on the field.
Easily. Yep.
Slash. Mm-hmm. I might be inclined to go with that.
Yeah.
But then you start looking, if you want to go position by position, we were kicking this around too. What do you think is the hardest position?
Tight end.
Because they don't have like a ton of depth there?
Yeah, they don't have a ton of depth.
It's got to be Heath. LB Nickel.
LB Nickel, Brunner, and maybe Green.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Tackle's interesting.
Tunch. Larry Brown.
John Kolb.
And Marvell Smith.
Hey, Jinx! Yomi is in.
Yeah.
Tunch was great, man. Multiple-time Pro Bowler. Marvell Smith, I think, won one Pro Bowl. Tunch gone way too soon. RIP. What a great guy Tunch Ilkin was. I mean, seriously, what a great guy Tunch Ilkin was. I worked with him for a long time and hosted shows with him. Good dude, and he would teach the Tunch Punch.
Mm-hmm.
He would go around to different camps. You say you were learning the Tunch Punch one year.
Malarkey down in Tennessee.
Did Tunch come down and help with that?
No, we had like a big pad that had like little dots on it. It was called the Tunch Punch.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Back in those days. Hey, could you head slap back then?
In Tunch's day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Man, getting slapped upside the head like that?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fun.
I mean, the Steelers...
Center's hard.
They could have potentially three Hall of Fame centers.
Oh, yeah. Four with Zach Frazier. Should I go full pony on Zach Frazier?
No.
The greatest center in NFL history?
Please don't.
That one's different than tight end. Tight end, you're like, who you got after Heath and LB Nickel? Oh, my God. Center, it's Mike Webster. It's Dermonti Dawson. Hardings was a hell of a center.
Mm-hmm.
And Marquise Pouncey's Hall of Fame adjacent.
Yep.
Jerry Mullins at guard. Alan Faneca obviously goes into the Hall of Fame. Sam Davis. Wide receiver is sneaky tough. Because you got AB.
For four?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going a four wide receiver set, you got AB, you got Lynn Swann, you got Hines Ward, you got John Stallworth.
Yeah.
But if you're going two, oh boy. AB was clearly a better player than Hines. But Hines was a multiple Super Bowl winner and an Super Bowl MVP. So he did it when it mattered most.
I mean, if I'm going two wide receivers, I'm going Antonio Brown and Stallworth.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because Lynn Swann, if you had to compare, would be more of a AB.
Is this the oldest segment we've ever done?
Probably.
In our show's history?
Probably.
Barrett Sports Media wrote a really nice piece about us yesterday about how freeform jazz we are and how the show flows and how young and energetic. And here we are talking about John Kolb. I'm sorry. Gary Anderson's not better than Chris Boswell.
Yes, he is.
Well, he won championships, but Boswell's one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history.
Okay.
Here's the one that's interesting. I think I've said that four times. Jack Ham, T.J. Watt, outside linebacker. Different defenses. Jack Ham off ball. They played the Tampa 2 before it was cool, before they called it the Tampa 2. T.J. Watt getting 20 and a half sacks in a season. Like, you can't compare those guys. T.J. Watt's a defensive end, basically.
Like, I mean, if you're going 3-4 linebackers, I'm going Watt, Ham, Lambert, Green.
Kevin Green.
Yes.
No James Harrison?
Green. Maybe Lloyd.
I'll tell you who had the best playoff statistics was our guy Lamar Woodley.
Yes. That year, yes.
He had two sacks in every playoff game. Von Miller did that, and then he was the Super Bowl MVP. Lamar Woodley does it, and he's like an afterthought because James Harrison had the best play in Super Bowl history.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. I said this the other day. If Kurt Warner gets that Hail Mary off in Super Bowl 43, there's a 15% chance, if not a little bit higher, that your friend Larry Fitzgerald goes up and plucks that ball off anybody's helmet. He had a legendary postseason run that year, Larry Fitzgerald did. Dwight White, defensive end, Ernie Stotner, Joe Green. I mean,
how's Ike Taylor not on? Like,
because you got, so safeties, you got Carnell Lake and Troy, probably.
Donnie Shell
and Mike Wagner. I mean, come on.
I mean, geez.
And then corner, you got Mel Blunt and JT Thomas. Ike Taylor, criminally underrated.
Rod Woodson.
Yeah. Jack Butler. I forgot, Rod. Thank you for not letting me forget one of the greatest corners of all time, who then won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. It makes me sick.
I could really do some damage with this defensive list, like moving guys around. Like, I'd have Rod and Troy at safety.
Oh, my God. And that's, I mean, Carnell Lake?
Yep.
Carnell Lake was a freak among freaks, man. That guy was unbelievable.
I'd put Carnell
bad
at corner.
Bad defensive coach, but yeah. Who would you do? What?
Carnell at corner.
He played both, yeah.
And Blunt at corner.
Ooh! Changed the rules.
Yep.
There's mug people.
Blunt, Carnell at corners and safeties, I'd have Rod Woodson and Paul Molo. You would not be able to stop that. They would stop every single pass.
I mean, just think about how good 08 was, man.
Yeah.
Like just the 2008 Steelers defense does not really get mentioned among the all-time great defenses. Like, it's always the Buccaneers, the 85 Bears, the Ravens of 2000. 08 Steelers, they defended every blade of grass, man. That team was really, 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 really good. Ike Taylor, criminally underrated.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't catch. People crushed Ike Taylor around here. Ike Taylor was solid, man. He was so good. All right, shall we move on from the old segment?
Yeah.
The old man segment, where we gaze back at the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, how about the Buccos? They're in the danger zone. They can do something right now, I think, that would help stop the bleeding. We'll tell you what that is when we come back.
Is loaded in two outs, 3-2 again. Gonzalez strikes out swinging, threw him that down and in cutter, and Wilson gets out of trouble. Pirates strand three, and they go down to the Reds tonight, 11-5.
Feels like danger zone time for the Bucks. 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, 8.5 back of the Milwaukee Brewers for first in the NL Central. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, and you can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fire Andy Haynes? No, you can't trade for six hitters. You got to do something. Like, I feel like this season could be spiraling down the drain here, Doran, and you got to put the tourniquet on this thing. And I can't think of anything apart from a big trade that might, you know, shake things up, bigger than getting rid of a guy who I don't think anybody could say and argue with a straight face is doing a good job.
Yeah, but would they do a better job without him? I mean, like, where would you go?
Hard to do worse?
It is hard to do worse, but I don't know if that is the answer right now. They just need to figure out how to put a better lineup out there. Like, I don't know if firing the hitting coach at this point is really going to do anything, but that's just me. I don't know. I don't think they'll do that.
I don't think they'll do it either.
No, I don't think they'll do it.
I know that Bob Nutting was critical of the offense, and so there's a shot across the bow at both Derek Shelton. I mean, really all three, Derek Shelton, Ben Cherington, and Annie Haynes, but I don't see them as the franchise that would pull the plug the way the Steelers did with Matt Canada. I do think it would send a message. I think they need a message. Because now they're taking on water, not just in their lineup, where really there's only three guys that you can count on every day. Their rotation is their big three. And then Bailey Falter has been really hit or miss of late. He was great against the Reds at home. He was bad against the Reds yesterday. You've got the back end of a bullpen now where there's no David Bednar. And we know probably, it's hard to argue that it's not the hitting, but maybe the weakest part of the team is the soft underbelly of the Pirates bullpen. I could just see this thing right now, these five games away from home, and they already lost the first of this six-game stretch. I could see this being danger zone time for the Pirates.
Mm.
And I do wonder, from your point of view, as a player, like we say, okay, let's say they add a big bat. Let's say they get a 30-home run hitter in here, a Luis Robert Jr. or something like that, a guy that's got legitimate pop. Or heck, just for bleeps and giggles, they get Pete Alonso. He's hit 50-plus homers. That's going to go a long way. You'd still have five places in your lineup that you can't quite count on. Could you get a collective lift from that, though? Could it buoy you? Could it raise morale? Could it push you forward? Because I kind of feel like they might need something like that, too.
Yeah, I mean, from the lineup construction, too. Like, you don't have to put certain players in spots that you're kind of supplementing. You could push everybody down. Like, who's in the – where were the Lonzo – hit, what, the three?
I put him four.
Four? And who's there now? Tellez?
Yeah. That's a huge difference.
Huge difference. You move him down.
And by extension, and we're talking about the intangible, like what it would do for everyone's energy and morale, and oh my God, our front office had faith in us. From a tangible standpoint, you'd have to think it would help O'Neal Cruz, too. If O'Neal Cruz hits third and a big bopper's hitting fourth, he should be seeing better pitches to hit, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that trickle-down would be real. What I'm saying here is I don't even know what they need to do. We've thrown out some options here, but are you in agreement that it's starting to look kind of murky for these Buccos?
It is, and I just saw somebody tweet this from The Athletic. A proposed trade that the Pirates could possibly make is Josh Bell and Brian De La Cruz from the Marlins and giving up, I forget what the prospects, I just lost it, but not top prospects, but that would help, I think. You're familiar with one player in Josh Bell, and De La Cruz hasn't been awful this year. So, and he's an outfielder. I wouldn't mind that.
I would not mind that at all. I would do that in a heartbeat, and I would do it today. I don't know that people are knocking down the door trying to get Josh Bell either. And frankly, Josh Bell has not been good. His defense is better than it was in Pittsburgh. But if Josh Bell is your first baseman, he is a better option to platoon with Connor Joe than Rowdy Tellez, full stop. So you'd be upgrading two positions. Brian De La Cruz has 14 homers in 77 games. He hit 19 last year in 153 games. Now, in his career, last season was his worst year. Apart from that, three out of the 4 years, he has been an above-average offensive player in terms of OPS+. So that's not what they have in the outfield right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Sawinski is one of the worst players in Major League Baseball. He's not a good defensive player. Can we just stop on him for 1 second, actually? Yesterday, ground ball up the middle. Should have been an RBI single for De La Cruz. And he goes to second because Jack, he's as fast as anybody in the sport, but because Jack Sawinski is lackadaisically going to the ground, to the ball. And he lollipops it in. And this just one day removed from on Sunday, there's a ground ball single to left field, and Jack Sawinski fields the thing. The runner's not even around third base. He's 8 feet away from third base, and he slowly picks it up, and he bounces it to the cutoff man.
Mm.
So not only is Jack Sawinski hitting below 170, Jack Sawinski is a sieve in the outfield and has a WAR that's as low as just about anybody's in baseball. So yeah, that's the kind of deal I could get on board with now. We were talking earlier, it might be tough to get a prized name now.
Yeah.
Because if you're the White Sox and you're thinking about Louis Robert Jr., if you're thinking about that guy, I'm the White Sox, I'm holding on to him until the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pushing that up. What'd you say, Callis?
Isn't it Luis?
Yeah, I know. I
said Louis.
I did it all backwards. If I'm them, I'm holding on to him for as long as possible. Any of the big name guys, you hold on to them as long as possible. See if you can get a bidding war and a king's ransom. But guys like Josh Bell and Brian De La Cruz, I feel like you could slightly overpay and you could get them now, and then you've upgraded two positions. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, where you want to stop the bleeding before, like, I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. I don't want to come back and they're 5, 6, 7 games out. But if I lick my finger and put it up in the breeze right now, I feel like that's more likely than them being 1 or 2 games out at that point. So do something, please. The Fan Morning Show, and do it now. Brought to you by Guardian Protection. Coming up next, Social Media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Social Media's Biggest Loser. Seems like Buffalo Sabres fans are taking it on the chin, Doran. Four members of the 2020-2021 Buffalo Sabres have now won the Stanley Cup. Jack Eichel last year, Kyle Okposo, Sam Reinhart, and Brandon Montour this year. And then here's a loser one for you. The Penguins and their lack of bottom six scoring depth. Evan Rodriguez was the leading goal scorer in this Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? Evan Rodriguez deserved the Conn Smythe more than Connor McDavid. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't have it. I don't know why. I kind of think it's weird you give a playoff MVP. And not, I'm not going to change the history of hockey here, say everything needs to change just because I don't like it, but I mean, there should be, they should be separate things. Like a Stanley Cup final MVP and a playoff MVP to me are different things. They can be. Like, McDavid was the best player throughout the playoffs, but he was not one of the best players the last two games when it mattered most.
But usually the playoff MVP is the one whose team wins.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it is, but it's different in this case. And I can get on board with the whole, and I know that, you know, there's different voters, but I can get on board with them wanting McDavid to be the face and the marketing push for it. I mean, that's makes sense.
When I posted the Twitter poll earlier, should Connor McDavid have won the Conn Smythe Trophy, 66% of people said no. Now, you got a lot of Crosby lovers and McDavid haters around here, and I would probably put myself somewhere in that group. But I've been like scouring the internet about all this. It seems like the only people that were like unanimous on this were the people who voted on it. Like, outside of the voters who covered the Stanley Cup playoffs, most people seem to agree, don't give it to the loser.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of odd to me, that the only people that really were full bore into this thing were the people who made the final decision. I'm now going to be off for 2 weeks.
Yes, you are.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to be off for a week, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Who do we want to fill in for us? Not that we get asked.
Jack Hillgrove.
I like that idea.
Maybe Donnie.
I like that, too. Maybe together.
Yes.
You listening, Craig? How about you do that?
Yep.
I think both of those guys give a level of intrigue where people would have to tune in. What are these young bucks all about?
Mm-hmm.
You heard a decent portion of his show on Sunday, Jack Hillgrove's.
Yes.
How's he doing?
Very good. He gets it.
He does get it.
Worked his butt off. Or some people, you know, I mean, we know who his grandfather is. He's worked from the bottom and is working his way up and doing it the right way.
You're not going to get a chance to do this if you're not good. Like Joe Buck, his dad, Jack, forever. Oh, well, yeah. And he acknowledged, like, I wouldn't have gotten my opportunity if it weren't for my dad. I don't know that that's the same with Jack, but you got to be good.
Yeah.
If you're not good, you're not going anywhere in anything. It ain't going to happen. So there you go. There's our endorsement.
Yep.
You going to miss me?
No.
Callis, you going to miss me?
Absolutely not.
Have fun.
Should I unplug? Just not tweet, not go on Twitter for a couple of weeks?
Do whatever you want.
Okay, fine. You don't care.
No.
Fan weather brought to you by Goodbye Friends. See you in a couple of weeks. Hope the Pirates are still in it when I get back. If not, Steelers camp right around the corner. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to 7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. Today, high 89.